Hello, good afternoon. My name is Philippe Morand. I'm from Microsoft. I'm a service engineer. I'm working for Office 365. I've been working in the Microsoft Online division for about 3 years. I'm part of Microsoft since almost 13 years now, in the IT business for 23 years. I won't tell you my age. I've been in charge of deploying enterprise customer to Office 365. And now my role is to make sure most of the deployment blocker you're seeing when migrating user and companies to Office 365 are completely understand, and we treat the blockers into the service and make the new release solving most of the blocking issue you're facing. And I'm presenting with my colleague, Christophe.
Yeah, Christophe Valle. I'm solution architect on Office 365 team. I work on Microsoft Online from 6 years now. I start on MMS, the first release of Microsoft Online, and after BPOS. And before, I was unified communications pre-sales guys and professional services on Microsoft during 6 years. That, like Philippe, I have a lot of years on Microsoft. My role today is to work on pre-sales technical blockers for many customers in Europe when you have some specific questions, how to solve this blocker, how to create an escalation with product team, and to plan new services, new release, what customer expected on the future, and what we need to implement. That today is the first sessions on Office 365, is the first public session from the general availability 1 year ago. And this session today is to explain you why Microsoft Online, why Office 365, why move on the cloud now, how you can reduce your cost to have a simple services based on simple products that Microsoft demonstrate on premises for many years, but managed by Microsoft, present on Microsoft Online Data Center, and has the flexibility to connect everywhere and to have the same level of experience. The agenda for today is a short overview about what is Office 365. And we can cross fingers that if we have internet connections, we can make some demonstration about what is administration on Office 365, what is our user experience, and provide you an update about what feature we will provide during this first year on SharePoint Online, SharePoint Online, Link Online, Common Infrastructure, Security, and so on. That's the first, the beginning of the presentations is just to make a recap about what is the cloud, what is the services on the cloud. Today, for the consumerization of IT, 95% of user, professional user, use their own device to reach the services and applications. That why is very simple, because you can choose your form factor design. Is more simple to use your device when you are connected everywhere, that it's a rate of internet connections. Today, 70% of your time for IT guys is to manage backup, restorations, add storage, patching, updates, and with the choose to move online on the cloud, you can take benefits to be focused on your business. How can I increase my business with my line of business applications and give time to use simple utilities like Office 365? Today, when we see what a user is working every week, 34 hours per week is using unified communications, mail, texting, calendar, voicemail, video conferencing. that it's the basic of the offering of Office 365. With all services that we provide, all these services is available online, 24 hours, 7 days per week, and 1 year per 1 year. You don't have any planned downtime. The services is every day up. You can be in US, you can be in Europe, in Asia. You can reach your services. It's just internet connections. And the last value is today, the analysis will plan for this fiscal, for the next calendar year, to have 1.2 million of users that use remote connections, that you are not on your office, you are in airports, you are in like such events, in hotel, at home, you have an internet connections, and you want to consume the services. You don't have to think, how can I reach my company with a VPN and after reach my services? No, I just have simple internet connections and I can reach services. It's a target for the next fiscal year. And today, with all this information, only 15% of the time consumed by the IT is on the private and the public cloud. That we have a lot of progress, a lot of challenge for the 10 next calendar year. What is the view of some analysts like Gartner, EDC, and so on? That we are thinking that 20% for the big company worldwide will use cloud services in 3 years. Because it's more simple, is you can say this month I have 10,000 users. So next month I will buy a new company is 20,000 more users. That is very simple. I just add licensing, add subscriptions. I don't have any project, no deployment. I just add the services. Services is up and running, and I can use. Nothing to do more. Today, we are targeting that 20% of business used by IT companies is not managed by their IT. It's just services that you use in the cloud, private cloud or public cloud. It's the last statistic for the end of 2011 is 80% of solutions, services, software is based on offering on the cloud. That you have today the capability to use product on premises or product online. Many products offer the two capabilities. And the most important is, even if I want to go online, where is my data? My data must be protected. I want to be sure that that data is not accessed by bad guys or by other competitors. And so that is very critical to know and to understand what is my data, what is the transparency, what is your privacy rules, what is your compliance.
Right. So now, what is Office 365? So we think that Office 365 brings a cloud version of the communication and collaboration products with the latest version of the desktop application. So it starts with Exchange Online, SharePoint Online, and Link Online, used to be in BPOS communication server online. And all those three workloads work together with Office Professional Plus, which is a subscription-based version of Office Client Suite. So looking at all the workload and thinking of a subscription-based, so per user, per month subscription fee, starting from the top left corner and going clockwise, starting with Office Pro Plus, it's a pay-as-you-go usage of Office application. So Word, Excel, Outlook, OneNote, PowerPoint. that you can use up to 5 devices per user. So the subscription model is really per user. Provide all the rich experience that an Office Suite capability is providing, connected with Office 365 workloads. It's the benefits of having always the latest version of Office Desktop Suite available through the subscription. So as long as you pay the subscription, you could apply for the new upgrade as we provide new upgrades. And from an end-user perspective, it's Office Suite's application. Integrated also with web application that provides some kind of a parity in terms of user experience. Right. Then going to Link Online, it's IMM presence for the businesses. It provides link capabilities. And most of the IT people are doing IMM presence, and we provide Link for doing so with Office 365. Link also provides presence capability within the Office 3 application, but also within the web app and the SharePoint online capabilities. Provides online meeting, so one-to-many and many-to-many web conferencing, integration with desktop sharing capabilities. All those capabilities are capable of crossing the firewall, so no limitation on where to connect from and how to consume the service. It's a matter of having the Link client working, having a PC connected to the internet, or having a Mac desktop or Mac notebook connected to the internet, and you are good to consume the service. Link Online also provides federation capabilities with the Windows Live Messenger workloads. So being able to federate with Live Messenger and collaborate and see the presence of federated bodies, completely integrated with the Office Suite. Then the next workload is Exchange Online, completely based on Exchange 2010, providing you with a 25 gig mailbox with integrated voicemail capabilities when buying the Exchange high-end plan, the Exchange Online plan too. Exchange Online also provide personal archive capabilities. I don't know if you are aware, but when building Exchange infrastructure in a hybrid coexistence configuration, you could easily have the user mailbox sitting at the customer premises, where you could have the online archive, the archive being residing in the online data center. So you could have a mix of use with mailbox sitting in the premises, archive sitting in the cloud, or mailbox and archive sitting in the cloud. This is perfectly valid scenarios that Office 365 with Exchange on-premises are providing. In terms of compliance, we provide retention policies and legal hold capabilities. So in order to get legal hold to work, we need to have unlimited archive possibilities, because we're going to keep all the item as we change and delete items. So we really need to enhance the quota capabilities to implement that. But this is part of the Exchange plan that enable that feature. Exchange Online provides free busy coexistence between tenants, but also between on-premises users and online users. So you are able to see my FreeBSY availability if I share my FreeBSY information with you. and start collaborating with me, booking meeting, and see what my availability is like. Finally, the last workload is SharePoint Online. So it starts providing my site to manage the personal user data. So providing for every single user a personal My Site site so that they can start storing data in the cloud and in SharePoint Online. It provides with the Office suite and SharePoint workspace the possibility to get the items offline and maintaining access to the document while on the go, working locally on documents and then synchronizing them when internet connection are back online. We got document item permission possibilities, so we can set permission on a site collection, but also on substructures. And finally, in order to collaborate with partner, business partner, you could invite partners and share site collection and site to those partners with a matter of sending them an email and inviting them, having them to accept the invitation, connecting to the invitation with their identity, and then start collaborating, working on document together, without having to spread email and adding attachment to those emails. Just to draw the picture, Link Online, Exchange Online, and SharePoint Online. As of today, we are trying to get feature parity between the on-premises server capabilities and online server capabilities. For some workload, we are about the feature parity, and for some feature on-premises server application deployed on-premises provide more capabilities than their online representative. I would say that Exchange Online, for example, is something like a 90 to 95% feature parity. I would say that Link Online is somehow a 60% parity. We don't have phone capabilities in Link Online, whereas on-premises provide phone capabilities. SharePoint Online is a growing application, and we are in between 70 to 80% and growing to feature parity nowadays.
Yeah. We just explained what is a four different workload available on the 365, but all the services is managed by a risk management policy that even if we can deliver the right technical features, the right end user experience, we need to be focused on four pillars for the services. The first one is for the privacy. How we can respect that your data is your data. We don't have the right to view your data. We don't have the right to share your data with any vendors, any institutions, any government. That is very important under 365 to respect your privacy. And the second pillar is transparency. Where is my services? Where is my data? We are in Europe, that your data center it is in Europe. We have a primary, we have a secondary. You know exactly where is my data. My data it is in Europe, that I don't have any fears that this data will be replicated everywhere. The last one is compliance. Compliance is very important. That is the reason for some workload like Link Online. We cannot provide all services. Voice for telephony is very complex in Europe for a lot of telecom carrier. We need to respect different law in different countries, multiple VoIP, and so on. That is very difficult for some workload to respect compliance. That is the reason that we don't have the same level of feature between on-premises and online. It just is not a technical issue. It's more how we can respect compliance and regulations or the country where we're present, and we can deliver Office 365. And the most important for compliance is all the services is based on market standard for compliance. ISO 27001, SSAE 16 type 1, Safe Harbor, model clauses for Europe. In US, we have FISMAR certification, that's the right to deliver services for US government or US agency. HIPAA certifications, the right to deliver services for health company. That is very important for the services to respect compliance. And the last one is the security. How we can deliver the best services with the greatest user experience, but to respect security. We encrypt all traffic between client services is encrypted. If you want to encrypt your data, yes, it's not an issue. Encrypt your data in premises, upload online, RMS, BGP, S/MIME. We support that. We support transport, we support usage. How we have a lot of guys that manage the services. Every guy that wants to connect on the services must use a driver for authentications. That is mandatory to reach the services. If they reach the services, they cannot reach directly internet. That we have a lot of process in place for assets, for control, for log all activities, for managing team, service team, engineering team, to be sure that we can respect your security, we can respect your privacy. And it's very critical to deliver services and to have your confidence about we can deliver the best services for you, like on premises. You have a very deeper session about risk management on Friday afternoon, Friday morning, that you have a presentation about all this topic with more information. But the most critical, if you have any information on risk management, we have a public website, is Microsoft Online Trust Center. You can find a lot of documentations, the report of certifications, the data locations, who can reach my data, in which case, and so on. That it's a public website reference for risk management. And to continue to deliver these services, today we have two main to use the services and to be authenticated on the services. The first one is Cloud ID, that I have my user account, I have my password, is present on Office 365, is isolate authentication from my own premises, that I have my user account on premises, my password on premises, and I can use Office 365 with a different login and different password. That's very simple. I just have to create a user, import a bulk CSS file, put in place in synchronizations, don't have to recreate on my user, activate the user, deliver services, they can connect and use. Or we have another for our customers that want to have SSO when they reach the services, SharePoint, Exchange, or Link. You can put in place federation services based on IDFS that you have your IT directory on premises. You put in place IDFS. You create the trust between your federation services gateway on premises to Office 365. And when I reach the services, it's my local credential that it will be used to connect on the services. That is very important for you that in this case you can continue to manage your password policy. You are not to request to Microsoft how you manage. Could you change password only every 6 months? Could you reduce the complexity of password? No, in this case it's your policy rules. That is more simple. The most critical for these solutions is you need to have high availability scenario, because if your services is done for federation services, we cannot forward use the tokens and receive the approval for the claims. That in this case, if you don't have availability for IDFS, the end user cannot connect. That is the support for this solution, is to have high availability for authentications. The second topic is for the whole base access, that we are thinking about Office 365 to deliver granular permissions. That on Office 365 web portals, you have different roles. The super administrator, the guys that manage the supports, guys manage the subscription, the billing, and so on. That we create different profile in Office 365 portal. After, you just have to say, this guy has this role, this guy has this role, this guy has this role. Same thing for Exchange. On Exchange, we use role-based access control. That you can have the same things. If I want to give to Philip the permissions to make a tracking log. It could be a simple user, and I give the right to make a tracking log. That we are thinking about that, so how you can have a super administrator on the services, but after for some specific needs, specific activities, you can delegate simple activities by web interface, and the guy use web interface for multi-box search, tracking log, legal hold, create user, create distribution list, everything. And the last is management, simplify all the management that by default, Office 365 is managed by your browser, any browser, Internet Explorer, Firefox, Safari, and so that you can use your browser to manage to create everything. If you want to more in deeper for your management, you can use PowerShells. That everything available on web interface, it's at minimum available on PowerShells, but you can do more, okay?
Office 365 extensibility. Just to picture the situation, Office 365 is not usually customizable. It's configurable, but most of the time it's not customizable. But from a web development perspective, we provide web interface to integrate your business application into some of the workload. Exchange provide web services interface. We leverage those web services interface with the Exchange web services. SharePoint could easily be integrated into a line of business application and consuming the list item from a SharePoint online is a piece of work but is easily manageable. We got business connectivity capabilities from SharePoint Online now, and we can integrate with external source of data. And this is mainly how we integrate and extend the platform from a web service perspective. The second pillar is extensibility through the Office 365 marketplace. This marketplace is growing. There's a lot of partners that are registered in this marketplace. They could provide services helping you deploying the service, but they provide also value-add capabilities and are listed throughout that marketplace. And lastly, we can connect from a SharePoint Online perspective with Windows Azure and SQL Azure. Hybrid, right. Office 365 and hybrid is really an important story there. We provide capabilities for the workload to be coexisting with on-premises capabilities. It starts mainly with Exchange, where you as a customer could deploy a hybrid configuration where a portion of your Exchange infrastructure resides in the premises of your customer environment, but another portion could reside in the cloud and they could collaborate in a hybrid configuration. You could seamlessly move users from the premises to the cloud and reverse that deployment. From an end user perspective, it's kind of a seamless experience. They got a pop-up that their mailbox has been moved and they need to recycle their Outlook client. They just shut down their Outlook client, restarted, they're in the cloud without even noticing most of the difference. And you could really choose which of the workload and which of the user you're putting into the cloud and which of the workload you're letting into the premises. The migration flexibilities, you could move all the user in one go and cut them in one migration event and get them to the cloud. But you can keep, as I mentioned, in a mixture situation where a good portion of the user are in the cloud and another good portion of the user are sitting on premises. And finally, to close the loop on the hybrid, we got the licensing module to help you leveraging that situation. when you pay for an Office 365 license, you are also entitled to consume the on-premises environment. So you don't pay the license twice. You have the choice on where you're going to be consuming the workload. It doesn't cover you for the Windows licenses, but at least for the Exchange and SharePoint workload, you could choose where you put your user into. Session on Wednesday, covering more of the management and deployment, will be handled at 5 p.m., right? So more in-depth information about the management in an hybrid situation and management the cloud from an on-premises administration perspective. Support. We start with a self-service dashboard, and we will see, well, if the internet code is with us, we will see what the health dashboard is like from a web UI perspective and get a feeling on whether the service is running for your tenant or not. Get some status notification and status information. We provide 24/7 support. Don't forget, it's web-based, but it's also phone-based. So if something is really critical, just pick up the phone and have a support engineer on the phone. If you go through the web submission of a service request, we got SLA with those support incidents, and we decide what the urgency and what the communication rhythm is with those web submission. And usually speaking, we allow us a 48 hours communication return to the customer. So if something is really, really urgent and your business is down because of something not going pretty well, you pick up the phone and you got the support engineer on the phone and get with the resolution with them. And finally, there's the community site, which is a really good help in helping you understanding what the service is capable of, what deployment limitation you could be facing, and how to work around and implement properly the infrastructure and you move to the cloud. So we will provide the community site a show and show you what the prompt ecosystem provide as a community for your support. A session about service impacting events and service reliabilities we will run on Friday. So we will present you with how we manage the operation and how we communicate on the major service incident and how we treat any disaster and how we provide the reliability on the system. Now we will switch to demo, and the last time we checked, internet was running for us. So running a demo based on the internet with no internet is a bit of a challenge. But let's assume we still got the internet working for our, that's the only computer having internet connection nowadays there, so bear with me for a second. I'm connected to the Office 365 admin portal. I'm connected with the very first user that created the tenant, so that's the global admin of the tenant. That's the default configuration. I don't know if you are aware, but with that kind of an admin, I'm not allowed, for example, to connect to every single one mailbox. I don't have access to the user mailbox. I don't have access to the user mailbox content. I can delegate myself access to the user mailbox, but then it's going to be recorded. We're going to get audit record, and we will be shown as granting ourselves the permission. So if any compliance claims came in, you could easily prove that you didn't grant yourself any end-user mailbox access, and privacy is also maintained in within the tenant itself. So from that UI, you would be able to start managing the Exchange workload, the Link workload, the SharePoint workload. If the subscription doesn't have any Link workload, this management UI will be removed from the web portal. Then you would be able to manage the users. So that works. Cool. Really great. I was really nervous there. So you got managed user. The picture of that user show that the user is using an online identity and is not synchronized with any Active Directory on premises. If you were to synchronize the user with an on-premises Active Directory, the representation of the body will be with two arrows side by side, making a circle. So managing a user from here with the admin account, I could reset the password, for example, right? I'm not going to do that because I think those users are in use in other demonstrations, so I don't want to mess my other colleagues' demonstration, right? But you could have a look on editing the settings for that AMI user. So you can start selecting which of the workload you entitle AMI to consume, right? You could say, for example, AMI, she won't get any Link online because she's not using Link, and we want to save that workload for other usage, right? I'm going to cancel that. So for that user, you could also designate AMI as being an administrator, and you got a list, the role-based administration list of what you could give AMI a role. You could block AMI from connecting, say she's been fired, and you need to prevent her from connecting. You give the admin a go and just disable the user, and she will be prevented to connect to any of the workload. And here, you must provide a usage location. This is for regulatory purpose. We are enabling some of the capability based on usage location. And you have to be completely transparent on where the user are located and comply with all the regulatory. For example, talking about VoIP, depending on the user location, we could prevent the service to provide one-to-many VoIP capabilities because of regulatory. We comply completely with the government regulatory depending on the location. So setting up the usage location also tells which are the underlying capabilities this user will be given. Gosh, let's say it's a no. And from here, you could also manage AMI's individual settings for the workload. So from here, you could easily change the settings for the AMI's Exchange mailbox, for AMI's Link online workload also. Then we have security groups, where we create a group of users and make them members. We could apply permission in Exchange Online, in SharePoint Online, and delegate access based on those security groups. We can manage vanity domains. So on top of Microsoft Online routing domain, which is the the onmicrosoft.com domain, which is created when you create the tenant. You could start registering your company domains and using it in the workload, in Link Online, in Exchange Online, and so on and so forth. From a licenses perspective, you would manage your subscription, right? So this tenant has a 300 E3 licenses and some kiosk licenses. You would see how many licenses are in use and how many are assigned, how many are valid, right? And you can go purchase additional licenses. If you go through that path, it will be an online purchase. We also have the possibility to have volume licenses and enterprise agreement purchase. And as an IT admin, the last portion of the web UI you would be landing on is the support page, where you would be able to do some troubleshooting and identify running tools where issue could be coming from a desktop and connectivity perspective. But you will see also all the service requests that have been created, that have been closed, and to which you will need more actions. I don't think we have an open request, and I'm not completely sure we have closed service request in that tenant. No, sorry. And finally, to see what for your tenant the service else is like, breaking down into workload, you got a complete view on workload by workload, feature by feature, what the availability was like. Moving over, you could have more details when outage have been occurring, getting more details. You could subscribe to an RSS feed, which is dedicated to your tenant. And really, if you were running business productivity online services, BPOS, in the past, this health portal was for the complete platform and the complete infrastructure. This information in this health portal is for your tenant. So if another component, another infrastructure is not touching any of your tenant, you won't get any warning from here. And finally, from here, you would be notified up to 5 days in advance in the plan maintenance that are in the plan for all of your workload, for all of your workload within your tenant. So 5 days ahead, you got a notification and the impact it could have on your tenant consumption, right?
That is high-tier experience now for the end-user experience, that if I use my Outlook client, Eric is presenting online, that you have the same things, that I have my Outlook client, I can see my email addresses. If I want to check where is my mailbox, it's very simple. I can see here that is Outlook.com. Outlook.com is Exchange Online. That I use the same experience that I am on Outlook. I can change my view, show I have conversations, all folders, and so that is very simple. I have calendar. On the calendar, I have side-by-side calendar, just update if connection is working. Can wait some few seconds. Okay, it's arriving that I can see my calendar and so on. And to deliver the same services, I can check on my Outlook web client. What is my Outlook web app? You can have the pictures, logo for 55. That I have the same experience. I can image view. My view is by date. I want to choose by subject. Okay, I can connect here. I can see the presence of the guys. I have the picture of or my colleagues, that is very simple. I can integrate all my picture on Office 365 to have more integrated communications. I can use my calendar, same things. I have the calendar from Karen and Amy. I would say I want to see the calendar from Karen side by side. That I have the same experience that each on-premises, no difference. That is a very great message and very important message. When I use online, I have the same end user experience, nothing different. And the connection is internet connections, okay? One of the things is, I will go to my mail. I can go to my portal end user. That is when I connect on my portal end user, is my first welcome screen. That I can see what is my Outlook to find my URL for Outlook web app, install link client. If I have the right for Office, I have another link for Office that if I don't have on my PC, I connect on my portal end user, click on Office, and Office will be downloaded and installed on my PC that after I can use. I have my team site at two levels, here and here, is a link and the menu to change on SharePoint Online. That by default you have this website that you can custom, you can have blog, wiki, you can integrate picture, you can create some library and so on. And after I will create a folder, for example for Kathleen, Kathleen make documents, I can click and directly I move on Office web app. That's very simple for usage. I can edit the document directly on the browser. I can insert picture and so on. I have the same format like my Word document in my Office on my PC. If I want to open on Word on my PC, just open Word. That two manner to work. Work with Office web app or work with my Office client on my PC. That today Office 365 we have three different offerings based on what the customer expected about the services. We have an offering for small business customer. It's very simple, it's only web interface. The support is only community, that is very for enterprise less than 25 users. Very simple. After we have another offering for many enterprise customer, it could be from 20 to 500,000. You have all the services available. You have the full support by phone. You have all feature, all scripting, all customizations. And we have a last offering is for educations. That same things, but for students and for teacher, that they consume the services, but present on Office 365. Two different of user that's available on Office 365. The kiosk user is more a user that they don't have any PC for the job. They can use only a browser. That is a new market, a new offering for employees that they don't have Macbox in the past. They can have a Macbox, 1 gigabyte. They can use a browser. They can use a mobile device if they want to synchronize. They can connect on your SharePoint and see all your documents present on your SharePoint. They cannot create document, but they can collaborate, read, and edit. And the second offering is information worker, is 25 gigabyte for Mailbox, for your primary and your archive, and after you can have a specific H&R Online P2 for unlimited archive storage, and it's very unlimited archive storage. You have all client connectivities, POP, HiMap, SMTP, Outlook, H&R Active Sync device that it could be Nokia, it could be Windows Phone, it could be Android, iPod, iPad, and so on. Link capabilities, the restriction is more on voice restriction by countries and by regulations. You have all H&R and SharePoint capabilities, Office purpose, and the right to use in same time online and on-premises.
Right, so we briefly touched base on the two type of identity Office 365 is able to provide and consume. So the Microsoft Online Identity is just a matter of creating user in Office 365 and letting the user to authenticate against those identity. The federated identity depends on Active Directory on-premises identity, where as an enterprise customer, you want to authenticate against your own AD. So federating with that Active Directory on-premises is done through Active Directory Federation services. More details, there's a really good session from Ross Adams on Thursday, and you would have a deeper look on what cloud identity, federated identity are like and what it means in terms of deployment with your enterprise infrastructure. Now, we've pictured out what was Office 365 at launch. It was a year ago we launched Office 365. And the benefit of Office 365 is that we go through continuous improvement. We publish a roadmap every 12 months. We gather feedback from you, yourself, from field, from partners. We got all the customer inputs. We consolidate all these elements and triage what we are willing to provide as the next version of the service. We quarterly release a new feature. We got monthly service update communication, but if you take the three workload, usually speaking, we got one workload upgrading in 1 month, then the next month we got another workload, and then the month after we got another workload. So every single quarter we got new feature enabled with the services. And we will see from the beginning of Office 365 what have been those changes and what kind of IT and user experience have been enhanced with those improvements. So globally speaking, we briefly touch base that from a NOAA perspective, the document previews are now completely included into the Office web app. So completely consuming the SharePoint Office web app capabilities. We've seen in the demonstration that send the photos are not now completely integrated in Outlook web app. That was not there at the beginning of the service. It has been introduced throughout the cycle of improvement. We've been providing unified download for a Mac user. We've been increasing the SharePoint storage capabilities for large enterprise. We were capping the overall amount of storage at 5 terabytes. Now we improve the service and provide that limit up to 25 terabytes. We've been working with BlackBerry, with RIM, so that they completely integrate their offering with Office 365. So we now have BlackBerry cloud services made available and coexist with Office 365. We have IE and Chrome support. We now have an official support for Lion OS on Mac. We expanding the coverage of the service. We introduce 22 new markets. We introduce some new languages. We open Chile and Brazil. We've been improving the notification and the health dashboard, introducing the RSS feed. And when about the compliance, we've been providing multiple mailbox search enhancements. we've been improving how to set up Exchange hybrid configuration. And with Exchange 2010, we've been working closely together to improve this deployment. We've been introducing a do-it-yourself troubleshooting tools from the community site. And we've been improving the DirSync tool and now shipping the 64-bit version of the tool. From an Exchange Online perspective, we touch based on the OA attachment preview and the sender photos. So the sender, the OA attachment preview is just a matter of integrating this this document preview into the Office web app suite. So the experience is completely the same from within the SharePoint Online and from within an OA session. The sender photo, we will see in the next screenshot what the integration is like. But that was a big ask from customer. They were asking for getting their picture within OA. Now it's up and running. We doubled the size of a kiosk plan. At launch, 500 meg. Now it's a 1 gig mailbox that they are providing. For kiosk user, Exchange Active Sync is now part of the plan, so they could be using any Active Sync device and connect their kiosk plan to Office 365. OA in i9 app mode is now available, so if you drag the OA session and drop it to the taskbar, you will be presented with additional menus such as creating a new mail item, booking a new meeting from within the IE app mode version. From a migration and hybrid configuration perspective, the stage migration has been deeply enhanced and providing more reporting and more control on how the items are migrating and what the reporting is like. The hybrid configuration completely leveraged Exchange 2010 Service Pack 2 new capabilities, and we've been adding retention policies and additional tag management with compliance. So send the photos in OA. User can upload their photo into the portal, or IT admin could integrate the thumbnail photo from their AD, get synchronized to the cloud, and boom, the user get the photos showing into their Outlook and OA client.
Same thing for our SharePoint Online perspective, where we make a lot of investments, and the majority is, okay, you have the right services on SharePoint Online, but how can I integrate with my life or business applications and premises? That is the reason that we deliver business continuity services, is the capabilities to integrate your life of business application based on web interface with SharePoint Online, that I can use SharePoint Online like my main portal for a lot of information present on online, but for a line of business applications present on premises. We increase the size for directory synchronizations. Now we support up to 500,000 users synchronized on Office 365, and every user can consume Exchange, SharePoint, and Link. External sharing, I will show you a screenshot about what is available. For Access Anywhere, that when you use an Exchange Active Sync device on Windows Phone and you configure your email addresses and your password, automatically we provide you that it is an Office 365 account that we configure for you, your Outlook and your Office Hub. That if you have any My site or internet site or corporate site, automatically this site will be present on your Office Hub on your Windows Phone. You don't have to know what is URL to connect. It's very automatic. We support Internet Explorer 9 and Chrome now. PDF, I will show you a screenshot. And for the last topic for IT controls, now at the beginning of the GA, of the generality of 365, we support only recycle bin for when you delete a list or when you delete a document. Now on the services, if you delete a full site, you can restore all this full site. And like Philippe explained, today we support up to 25 terabyte for your collaboration firm. And for my site, it's unlimited that if you have 50,000 users, they have 500 megabyte per user, that you have a very large storage for the my site. Yeah, testimonial sharing is very simple. You just have to activate on your top level URL for your SharePoint site. This feature is available that after when I create a site, a sub-site, I could invite any guys outside more Office 65 organizations. It's just an email, they receive the link, they can connect, and they can consume everything. So you don't have more storage for partner access, but they can consume, they can edit, they can read all the documentations. PDF support. We create a new icon on the SharePoint Online, and you can open directly your document, your PDF document from SharePoint Online. You don't have to download the documents and open it. Now you just have to click on the document, and they will launch automatically Adobe Reader to read these new documents. Office Web App. Office Web App, we make a lot of investments to support a multi-browser, Chrome, Internet Explorer 9. It's very a lot of expectation from customer to support more browser. We have new feature for print, for Word, for Excel, for PowerPoint, and so that. Every time we want to provide more feature, more services on Office Web App. Link Online, today we have a client for Mac that they have server experience, presence, IM, audio and video. We create another feature is a client side recording that I restart a call. I want to record the call because we have some important message in the call or presentations. I am the client, I can start the recording. Every attendee receives notifications that I start my recording. If they want to go out, they can go to out. Access Anywhere, we have a Link Mobile client for all platforms, for Windows Phone, for Android, for iPhone, for iPad, that you can have a different experience on different device, but you can connect and present an IM. Web Scheduler for some guys that don't have Outlook, but use only Outlook Web App and want to plan some online meeting. We have a specific website that you can connect, create your meeting, invite your attendees, and if you want to connect directly on this online meeting, you have a button, I want to join the meeting now. And we create a lot of investment on Link Online Control Panel to manage sitting user per user. How can I authorize federations? How can I authorize recording that you have top level and user per user? That is different spreadsheet. Screenshot about the services is Link Online Control Panel, what is available and what I can do. That private world, federations, Link Mobile user, and so on. Is online meetings, that I can create my online meeting, and you have a view of what is the Link Web Scheduler that I can see when I create a meeting, and if I want to, I can join the meeting, edit the meeting, view the meeting, and so on. That is only based on web interface.
So on the suite level for the update, Mac is now provided with a unified download page from where you could pull the Link client, for example. And if you connect with the Mac, this is the landing page your user is going to be going from a Mac perspective. We've been providing multiple language support for Office Pro Plus subscription. With Windows Phone 7.5, we now have expanded experience and capability to connect the Office Hub of a Windows Phone to an Office 365 SharePoint infrastructure. BlackBerry Business Cloud Services are now being launched by RIM and integrate with Office 365. In terms of compliance, EU model clause, separate data processing agreement, HIPAA, and ISO 24001. Identity update throughout ADFS rollup, Identity Federation Services new rollup. We've introduced client filtering, so some policy-based filtering to prevent user from connecting from a given location, to filter the consumption of the service based on the client application type and the location, whether they are on corporate network or coming from the internet. We've been providing admin password reset. That was a big ask because it was really generating a lot of support call for resetting the initial admin password. We now launch the 64 bits of desync tool. So if your platform is completely standardized on 64 bits environment, you could deploy the directory synchronization on 64 bits. And we've been launching the do-it-yourself troubleshooting tool, the web UI. A screenshot of the additional information you should be providing to get the self-serve password reset for admin people. So you have to provide a mobile number and provide an email address. If you go through the password reset, you're going to get a text message, and you would be able to prove that you are the admin that is willing to reset the password. On the middle of the screen there, you see that Office 365 is now showing into the Office Hub in the Windows Phone 7.5. So providing a complete integration with SharePoint Online in Office 365 and Windows Phone, pulling the data on the go, interacting with Office documents and synchronizing them with Office 365.
And same thing for BlackBerry, that we have a lot of customers use based on premises, and once they moved online, how can I continue to use my BlackBerry device? That we have a very strong partnership with RIM to deliver the services, that RIM implement cloud solutions based on their data centers, that they offer a BlackBerry business cloud services, that you have the same level of feature you have, push, make, contact, calendar, is very important that you just have to reswipe your device to these services and connect to Office 365. You have a true SSO between Office 365 portal for the administrations and the RIM portal administrations, that I can start to work on my Office 365. I want to move on RIM to manage the services. I just have to one click manage my BlackBerry device with the same experience, with the same SSO. That is very critical for a lot of experience. We have a lot of policy available that you can deploy on the device to offer the services. And the most important for BlackBerry is this service is based on countries' availabilities. That today RIM covers the majority of countries where Office 365 is available. If you have some countries not covered today, the best answer is try to contact your RIM contact to find what is the date for your availability. And the second topic is this service is free. That if your mailbox is on Exchange Online and you have your BlackBerry, you can connect to Exchange Online with all services, and the cost for BlackBerry for your device is free, $0, 0 euros. That is very important. That we just finished the sessions. We want to provide you information about what is Office 365 and the generality 1 year ago, and what features that we provide during all this year. We are very, very focused to deliver more services. And all these services, all these features that we provide during this year is based on expectation from customer, partner, to provide you the best experience that we can. That we plan all the sessions, we plan some announcements tomorrow for the birthday, for the first birthday of Office 365. We are thinking about what is the next major release, what we can provide you for more services, more feature, to very don't see the difference between on-prem and online. That's the same things. Office 365 is new utilities like electrical, like air cooling, like telephony. You just have to use it. That you the list of all sessions about Office 365. We try to indicate in specific slide when you discuss about management, risk management, security, hybrid, authentications, and so on, that you have a list of all these sessions. That now are just some specific website where you can find some information. And if you have some questions, just raise your hand and you can have microphones to raise your questions.
There's a question on the back.
What are the plans for SharePoint Online and PowerShell?
Yeah. Today we have two products where we don't have PowerShell today. It's SharePoint Online and Link Online, and it's very important in the specification for the next release. It's at the beginning mandatory to have PowerShell available. That yes, it is on the roadmap. Today we don't have the list of all commandlets that will be available for SharePoint Online and Link Online, but it's planned to deliver for the next major release a commandlet feature.
When do you plan to support multiple forests into a single tenant?
The process to create a user on Office 365 is based on your object user ID for IT directory on premises. That's the fact to support multiple forests. We want to be sure that your user is present only on one forest. It's very important. After is how you can move my user from the forest A to the forest B, but I want to keep the link to my MakeBot, to my SharePoint, my permissions, my security groups. That we are working on this process, and today we have a roadmap to deliver a management agent on theme to support multiple forests.
I would defer you to go to the Active Directory
session from session. ROS.
There is ROS from the product group, which is really working on those elements.
But today we have beta program, and we have already some customers that have read this scenario about simple, one user forest, one resource, or multiple user forest.
We're going to take the question, but maybe we will answer offline. We got 40 seconds left, so go ahead.
Will you be changing the hard limit of 1,500 emails a day on an enterprise license?
Question is the email rates limit. You're right. As of today, the limit is 1,500 emails a day per user, right? We are going to roll out an upgrade on that. We know that's a limit that is eating a lot of our customer. We are deeply looking into what a normal rate could be, and we are going to deploy improvement pretty soon into the service. So we are now treating user on exception basis, but we will slowly deploy really large numbers in the future.
Yeah. The challenge is to find the right value between respect customer expectations, but in the same time, don't open attack surface for denial services. That is very critical. That we know we have a lot of customers in this case. We can find some workaround solution on premises, but we're working the same way to see how we can increase this value. If you have more questions, you can come
see us.
Yeah.
We are off time.